It's another episode of your favourite gardening podcast, Talking Heads, with me, Saul Walker.
And me, Lucy Chamberlain.
So, settle down for the next 30 minutes or so and let us entertain you with haughty talk. And of course, being the Talking Heads podcast, discussions about the weather. Winter is here, and with it, we enter the season of structure and form.
We also grab our Gore-Tex jackets, pruning saws, leaf blowers, chainsaws, and trusty secateurs as our gardening projects switch from tending all that abundant growth to tidying and shaping it with creativity and precision. Winter really is the season to renovate, renew, and revive our estates, large and small.
So, whether you gaze over orchards, paddocks, meadows, and woods, or patios, pots, veggie patches and flower beds, you can trust Lucy and myself to keep you entertained with the latest news from our industry and updated on key jobs for the season. Never let it be said that our jobs quieten down for the winter months.
Settle back into this latest episode as we take you inside the busy and exciting world of the modern head gardener. Well, good morning, Mr. Walker.
Good evening, Lucy Chamberlain.
Hello. Hello. We were just, as we do, having a little chat before we've pressed the record button. And we know that normally you're in wet, soggy Devon with a clay soil, and I'm in dry old Essex with the sandy soil. And we think that's an extreme enough to keep people listening to the podcast and talking about our garden differences.
You would hope so, yeah.
Today, we think we've stretched to new realms because with Saul, it's teetering on 0 degrees. And with me sat here, it's high 20s going into the 30s. And I've got the fan on. I'm sitting in very, very lightweight clothing. Saul's informed me he's got multiple layers on. He's actually sat there with his hat on still, hasn't taken his hat off.
No, it's cut cold.
So, so it's early in the morning for me. It's 20 past 8 in the morning for me. It's 20 past 9 in the evening for you. We're on, still at opposite ends of the world. So, do you see what we do for you guys? You know, and we don't make any money out of this podcast. We are so good to you. So...
You mean your whole holiday hasn't been funded by sponsorship?
Buy me a plant. No, it hasn't. It hasn't. But, you know, if anyone's interested in doing this again, I'm up for it. So.
Permanently. We're not getting Lucy back. That's the thing I think she's trying to say. She's not coming back.
Well, if Auntie Jane had her way, I think we would be all staying here because she's got a lot of gardening work that needs to do. The gardening rate here is pretty good. I have to say, just for authenticity, I've had to shut the windows because the gardeners in Australia do start very early in the morning. We were, I've actually recorded some bird sounds, which required me getting up at 5. Then I went back to bed for a snooze. And I was politely woken up by the gardeners at 7. And so I'm feeling a bit groggy. I haven't had caffeine. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't even washed my face. So apologies if I ramble a bit. But yeah, the gardeners here start in the summer very early in the morning because... obviously over the heat, and that's what we used to do at Donnellan Hall on very, very hot days in the summer. We'd work around the heat, so that's what they do. And also they do start with a raucous chorus from their leaf blower, then transitioning into the mower. And I'm sensing this is to ensure that all the creepy crawlies and snakes and creatures that might be lurking in that garden that they're working on at 7 in the morning are also politely awoken and are told to shove off.
Yeah,
so, there you go. It seems to be a consistent theme.
Extra bit of health and safety there. You know, that's not something we have to put up in UK gardens. The worst is an angry badger that might still be about at the break of dawn.
They're quite bad. They're quite bad.
They can be. They can be. Or
sorry, badgers, you don't.
Or one of your gardening colleagues who hasn't had coffee. That's the other people that sometimes you have to rouse.
That's me.
To rails, yes, like you this morning. Yeah. I did see a picture of another gardener down in Australia this week. Yeah, an interesting apparel that Mr. Chamberlain was wearing while he was mowing.
Just going with the flow. Hey. Holiday vibes.
The old open-toed sandals are...
Yeah, but you've got to Well, I think you're being picky. He'd got a grass collecting box on the back. He was all right.
He's fine. He's only got 8 toes now. He had 10, but you know, he got some
he's
spares.
Matching up with his fingers. He's had one of his fingers taken off, so he's just trying to match up the look.
It's good you're just keeping up the skills while you're on holiday, I've got to say. I'm very impressed with your commitment to keeping yourself busy.
Yeah. I've pruned a bit of Auntie Jane's golden cane, so I've got to finish that off. That's why I've not put a picture up. But if anyone has been looking at I'm only doing stories on Instagram because I'm so sorry. I'm on holiday and I don't have time to type lots of stuff up. So stories is a fantastic platform just to plonk a picture up with no words. So if you've been looking at me in the last two and a half weeks on my Instagram stories, you'll see every day for the 24 hours of the story's life, what we've been doing. And the latest one was some drop bears, as Saul's kindly informed me. That's what they're called. Yeah,
not a drop bear, mate. Look at that over
bears.
There.
There were some three very cute drop bears, otherwise known as the koala. And they're not bears, honestly. They're not. They're marsupials. They get very cross if you call them a bear. So, which means that obviously we have, as a family, been visiting the zoo. It's not called Sydney Zoo, it's to something or other. Sorry, I would have had the name really, but I wasn't expecting to talk about the zoo, I forgot that. But it begins with a T. Someone will tell me, because you wonderful people on Instagram have also told me, and I'm sorry, I got this wrong, I think I called the eucalyptus the scribbly gum, and it's not. And I'm going to get back onto that later, because I need to check my phone notes to give you the accurate information, so I'm not going to rush into answering. What it is.
It's not the squiggly gum. Oh, that's disappointing. I really
enjoyed. Oh no, it is that. I got the name wrong. I think I called it the scribbly. I'll tell you in a minute. It's on my Instagram notes that people have been. I've had some lovely people reach out to me whilst I've been here. But let's talk about you first of all, because I know it's been a bit less than 30 degrees for you.
Well, the weather's turned nice in the UK for gardeners. I've got to say, last week we were under about 60 mil of rain. I was floating down the A38 in my raft, and now we've gone to what should be proper. This is proper winter weather. It's been 3 degrees all day. I've been in my woolly pullies and my mittens, but it's been dry. We're finally getting some dryness in the UK, and talking to all the gardeners as I've been over the last few days, we're out and about, we're getting back to what we can get done. Must say, the borders are still not quite there. They're either frozen or still a bit too wet, so we haven't been doing much on those. But ideal pruning weather, and I'm sure when you get back you're going to be out with the secateurs and the loppers.
I've got some things I've got to do at home which I didn't get around to before I came, because I had to pull ahead with my work. So I can't wait to get home with my silky saw.
Bit of fruit pruning to do. We've been out doing the orchard yesterday, so the whole orchard's now pruned. Observations, not much extension growth last year, which I'm surprised about because it was better than the year before, but I don't know. There's definitely not as much extension growth to cut, so we managed to get the orchard actually done in 3 hours, where it usually takes us all day. So that's okay. We'll have to see how that translates. Yeah, translates into fruit. But I think there's a fair amount of buds on the spurs, so they all look quite healthy. Now the cold weather, which we all know is really good for top fruit, because it initiates the buds. It gets them ready
to go. You guys in
a
temperate world.
Yeah. Where we get these cold temperatures, Lucy, we can grow this great fruit. You know, being at 25, 26 degrees C may be fun on holiday, but when it becomes to having a nice apple, you know, that's a bit different. But yeah, so
actually we hit 33 degrees yesterday on the beach, which is the hottest we've had. And that was, I've still got the sun lotion stuck on my face. It doesn't want to come off that fixer.
Yes, well, I've got a jumper permanently on, so that's about as far as I'm going to go. Pasty white, but this is the kind of weather I quite like. So, yeah, we've been pruning, managed to get all the Magnolia grandiflora pruned, and then tomorrow we're going to start on a bit of hedging around the vegetable garden and getting that sorted. And to us, that's ideal at the moment, just getting those bigger jobs done. We don't really need to get on the borders till probably February, mid-February, and then we'll get the mulch, and then we'll see what the weather's doing. So at the moment, yeah, it's nice. We're dry. That's all that matters.
Any snowdrops nipping through?
I've got snowdrops flowering in my place. We've got a few daffodils coming up here and there. it's sort of stirring. It's that start, isn't it? It's the start of the crescendo. So all avalanches start slowly.
Well, it's the cold snap, isn't it? We need the cold snap. And by all accounts, you guys haven't been having it, and now you have. And that, like you say, that's the literally is going to be the starter pistol, isn't it? So for things to start moving. I'm wondering how because we left all our Christmas decorations up before we left, because again, we hadn't got time to tie them away. And we have a rather fine collection of three snowmen in our front driveway. And I wonder if they're still standing, actually.
They've been pinched. Someone's taken. Well, someone's half inched them.
I mean, by the storms. Was it Storm? Not Hank. I can't think. But who did
Hank.
We have?
Then? Yeah, it was Hank. Storm Hank. Not... Yeah. They were seen floating out into the North Sea, Lucy. So, three snowmen on its way to the Arctic.
Oh dear. Hey ho. Never mind. But I have seen. I dip in. I haven't been doing it as much these last few weeks, but I do dip into Instagram and see what people are posting. I saw Matt Oliver, Alting Wick, in a flurry of snow. Yeah. So I knew the snow had come to Essex. So I don't think it's laid as far as I can gather, but I think it has in other parts of the country, hasn't it?
I think Kent and Sussex have been... some of the pictures were quite large flurries of snow. But nothing down here, not even a flake yet. I wouldn't be surprised. We haven't really had a frost either. It's that sort of 1-2 degrees. And then if there's a slight breeze, it sort of keeps off the frost. And I prefer that. All the plants are just sort of dormant. They're not being damaged or affected by the
frost.
Well,
with all your tropicals, exactly. You don't want any of that. You want the dry and you want the cold.
That's it.
And I just had a quick look before we came on there in London, which is the closest I can get to where we are, is -3 by the latter part of the week. So, like teetering around the zeros. So all those 10-foot plants will be appreciating it. Those buds will be initiating, synchronising, plumping themselves up, ready for the season. So it's all good. It's all what we need to have, isn't it?
Well, I also think the Chamberlain family needs vernalising. I know you're coming back soon, so...
we're very soon. Yeah, by the time this is aired, we'll be in the air as well. So there we go.
Wrap up warm on your way. But yeah, you'll have to change from shorts to T-shirts halfway over. So you'll sort of be around the Arabian Peninsula, coming over into the denser air mass of the cool Europe. You'll have to change up your garb, but at least it's dry and nice.
When we flew over in Kuala Lumpur, I'd got my shorts and lightweight tops in the bag ready to change into, and so when we drive down Kuala Lumpur this time, it will be the jeans and the jumper will be ready. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't like excessive heat. Yesterday on the beach, I was like, well, thankfully we found a side that got a breeze. I'm very much looking forward to coming home. My Japanese wineberry, I didn't get around to pruning. Even my summer raspberries, I hadn't done. And my autumns, obviously, I hadn't got around to. And none of my top fruit at home. So I'm very much looking forward.
But you're not too late.
You're
not too late, are you? To be honest, you've got this whole month and probably most of February, especially if the temperatures stay like now. You sort of want to shift before the growth starts, really. That's the key. So I think you got plenty of time.
I'm going to hit it with zeal. I've got lots of words to write and lots of practical jobs to do. So that will be me. But not yet. I've got a couple more days of enjoying the holiday vibes.
So last time we left you, you were off to the Hunter's Valley, mate.
Oh my gosh. We went there. Beautiful.
Did you enjoy
place.
It? Was it good? Yes. What wine and chocolate? Wine and chocolate, I hear.
and cheese. Oh. All the good things in life, basically. So we stayed at a place called The Vintage, which is a golf resort, if anyone's keen on their golfing or any greenkeepers listening out there. And it was a beautiful place. You may have seen me on Instagram driving around in a golf buggy, which was the best fun ever.
All
that
right.
was really good fun. Because that's the way you travel on the Vintage estate. You don't use your car. You go around on your golf buggy, and we use the buggy to do some kangaroo spotting because we'd seen wallabies, but we hadn't seen, that was at Pittwater, we saw wallabies, and then we wanted to see kangaroos to tick that box.
Lovely.
So we drove around on the quieter roads of the estate. There were loads of them there, so that was great. But Hunter Valley, very nice because whilst the keen golfers are on their 18 rounds, meeting up at the watering hole at the end, all the other people who aren't such a enthusiasts of golf. We've got lots of things to keep them entertained. So there are lots of vineyards, predominantly. Let's get into horticulture first of all. Lots of gorgeous vineyards. And it's really interesting. There are some large estates, but there are also lots of small wine estates. So it's like small holdings lined up side by side. And the vineyards are maybe less than 10 acres each. So if you, and the very proactive wine growers encourage people to visit the estate and taste the wines. There's anywhere you go, you can do wine tasting. So it would be like driving past farms in the UK. And actually, you could just turn up, like the Famous Five used to do, turn up and ask for a cup of milk and some honey and some eggs and some food. And that's literally what the Hunter Valley is like. It was gorgeous. So we went to one that was a very artisan, small estate and did some tasting there. The gentleman there was wonderful. He'd only got on his bottles, he'd got a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir. And he'd sold out of the Chardonnay, so he'd tried the red, which was very nice. But there are others that then will sell, say, 100 different bottles of wine, and they go into all the sparkling reds, which I'd not had sparkling red before.
Yeah.
And lots of bubbles as well. There was actually one that had actually got a bubble machine, which we thought was pretty cool. So for the smaller members of the Chamberlain family, that was quite exciting. So the wine tasting was great. It was nice to speak to them about the way the vines grow. Some of them were maintained immaculately, not a weed in sight. And at the end of each row, I don't know if this is a thing, so maybe someone can tell me, because I have got some local people listening, which is wonderful. There was a rose planted at the end of each row.
Oh, right. Like it.
And I don't know whether that's just
like a bush rose or
a bush rose, a bush rose. No, not a climber, a bush rose, just to depict the end of the row. And so whether when you're talking to your fellow pruners, when you're going out there to maintain the vines or pick the grapes, whatever it might be, you talk about going to Madame Albert Barbier or Joseph Cartier or Buff Beauty or whatever it might be. I don't know whether that depicts the row. Because they all looked like they were different roses.
I wonder if it's a way for them to test their secateurs or something before they actually start on the rose on the vines to make sure they're sharp.
On the vines. Well, maybe. Do you know what I mean? Maybe someone can help us. People are really, who are over here in Australia, thank you so much for speaking to me about things. It's been lovely. So there you go. That's your, if you are able to let us know on that. That would be really fascinating to know. But yeah, lovely to go to the vineyards. We had a cheese night. That was great. And I just specifically bought Australian cheeses because I could have gone all the way to Australia and bought English cheese. But I went into this cool room and I had a merry time in there. Only two people were allowed in at one time and we bought lots of cheeses. And we have seen some lovely cows around here. There's the... what's the beef?
Wagyu
what's
beef, the beef? Yes. Wagyu.
So this is a Wagyu beef area.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is, yep. So we've seen some cows, which I've been reliably informed are the Wagyu cows. That's slightly out of my expertise, so I'm going to be just
trusting
that.
I think they get massaged, don't they? Or something that like that, looked after.
Yeah.
I think it's something
cows
like
get
that.
A lot of stuff these days, don't they, to look after their welfare. These rollers.
They get looked after better than I do.
Do they? Oh. Does Nick not give you a massage at the end of a hard working day when you've been up that pruning ladder, snipping away at those apple spurs? No?
we're just too stiff. It's all the coldness is making us quite stiff.
Oh, you need to do some yoga.
What we need is open fire. That's what I really need. That would be quite nice. Oh, it sounds like you've had a great. It sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah, but we went to some gardens. Can I explain? We did go to. I'm getting around to the fact that there was some horticulture as well as the eating the chocolate, the drinking the wine, and the eating the cheese, and driving around in the golf buggy and all that kind of stuff. We did go to the Hunter Valley Gardens, which was a lovely garden. It's what I would say. It's more of a garden to inspire you for different themes. So, for example, there was a Japanese garden, an Italian terrace garden, a French garden, a rose garden. The Japanese garden was stunning, really stunning. So it's not so much about the plants specifically. I would say it's not so much a plantsman's garden, although there were some lovely plants there, some really interesting, unusual things for me. It's more about being inspired by the different styles of gardening. So it was really good. But also, this is a bit of a mind-blowing stat that's an aside, and it just represents the time of the year. They still had their Christmas lights on, and they fly the flag for being, I think they said they were Australia's largest Christmas lights display. Now, get your brain around this. 4 million lights
Four, that's a lot of light bulbs.
Yeah. So our experience of walking around the garden was absorbed by, there was a lot of Christmas stuff going on.
Right, okay.
So
yeah,
just to say that visually, for us, there was a Santa being pulled by some kangaroos in a sleigh. So I did have to get a photograph of that.
Yeah, that must be quite strange, because in this country, the reason that we have these lighting festivals or glow festivals, they call them sometimes in the gardens, is because there's not actually that much else going on for the gardens, and they want to attract people in by putting the lights up. But the problem is, because you're in the middle of summer, there's probably a lot of going on in the way of flowers and plants all in leaf.
Yeah, the roses were in full
so
bloom.
So yeah, then having that with Christmas lights, that completely doesn't compute with me at all, especially 4 million. That's a lot.
It was very obvious that we were not in the England for the Christmas lights at that point. But do you know what as well? What I loved about it, because I think I personally feel that we're teaching around it a little bit in the UK, the way we do these illuminations of our gardens in the winter. They fully embraced Christmas.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was. And also Alice in Wonderland, lots and lots of fairy tale stories were told. But they fully embraced the Christmas theme. And I think, great, do that. That's what I think is attractive and what we want to see.
Also, just talk about lighting, actually, in gardens in general. The one thing I notice when I have been in Australia is there's some more lights in their gardens. They use their gardens a lot more for sort of hanging out in leisure space in the evenings.
Yeah, they do.
You know, there is a reason they're known for their barbecues over there, because that's what they do a lot more of. I guess obviously the climate, everyone's going to say the climate more suits that sort of lifestyle, that outdoor lifestyle. But they're very good. Mm. And I remember at Chelsea Flower Show, they had the Trail Finders Gardens, and the guys from Australia came over and did those every year. And they were
so popular, weren't they?
And they were very much about that lifestyle. So there was kitchen. I think they were the first, they must have been one of the first gardens to actually bring an outdoor kitchen full, you know, on barbecue with all the countertops and stuff. And then they had the swimming pools, but they also had the lighting. And I remember they were one of the first to actually have their garden almost completely lit as if it would be seen during the day, and obviously there was no one there. That, you know, there was some of the the VIPs, and there was some after hours events that they could put on for their clients, but there was no one there visitors wise to see them. But again, they just fully lit the garden, and I think that's the thing. They actually fully embrace Australia and New Zealand. I think they use their gardens a lot more than we do all year round.
They've got the climate to do it. But yeah, it was so if anyone's listening who's been to the Hunter Gardens or who worked at the Hunter Gardens, it was mind-blowing what you put on done there. It was absolutely mind-blowing. And I would say my favorite themed garden was definitely the Japanese garden. We tickled some koi, as you do.
Well, you know, that's the other thing about Australia, isn't it? Because it's not, you know, it's not it's not Australians. They're not no one's local apart from the Aboriginals, but it's a mix of all cultures. So their gardening themes are very different and mixed. I remember being up in Cairns, up in North Queensland, and seeing a lot of Asian influence in everything, really, but also their gardens. You know, there was quite a heavy influence towards there, because a lot of Japanese tourism goes in there. A lot of people have emigrated from Japan and down Asia Minor there. So they do have this sort of melting pot, which I think really helps them embrace all of these bits and pieces. I think we can, in Britain, we can get a little hung up on our history with gardening, and that sort of shows through the way we do our discourse and garden design and stuff. I think in Australia, they're far more freer, and that allows them to, you know, put on amazing displays. So yeah, interesting.
I think combined with the climate, because as you know, a lot of the lush tropical plantings are on the coastal areas, and as soon as you move inland, it changes. Mm. So you've got that contrast, which we don't get that strongly in the UK. And as you say, very multicultural. And the cuisine, I'm so enjoying the cuisine. Give me more sushi.
Oh, there's a surprise, Lucy. you and eating. I never, ever would have thought that would have ever happened.
I know. It's shocking, isn't it? You learn something new about me every day.
Do you know, let's move away from thank yous. Get you away from the eating thing.
Yes, do that, definitely.
We've got two people to thank on Buy Me a Coffee as ever. Thank you to everyone who donates a little bit and keeps us going into our fifth year. Have I mentioned that? I don't think I've mentioned that enough yet. So
it scares me when you say
that. Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll have a decade under our... Right, first person is Ben, who is actually Tim. So who knows, it's Tim or it's
Don't
Ben
start that again.
AKA one
oh
of them
my God.
Ben or Tim. I know it's Tim. You've become a super donator. I think you've joined a couple of the elite donators in our Buy Me a Coffee, so thanks very much as ever for your support.
Thank you, that's wonderful.
And we've also got a nice message for someone called Linda Gilbert. Linda says, hi guys, I love your podcast. You're regular as clockwork to cheer my Monday mornings. Empathetically musing about the weather, informative and chatty banter. I listened to your Australia episodes. Here we go, a bit of feedback. And I thought I would forward this podcast to you that I listen to regularly. The landscaper is passionate about getting the best out of the soil conditions and regularly talks about adding minerals. You may find it interesting, and there's a lot of bird chatter in it too. I wonder if Linda's from Australia. I don't know. She might be. The podcast, by the way, is called Muddy Boots. So there you go. A little shout out to that podcast. I've never listened to it.
Muddy Boots.
But I will do. We'll see. But thank you, Linda. So there you go. Two more supporters on our Talking Heads journey, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this seems an appropriate time to give a quick shout out to the people that have been thanking me with my travels here and giving me guidance.
Go
and
for it.
Giving me the heads up on places to visit. I so wish I was here longer because I've not visited half the places we've wanted to, but it just means I just have to come
back.
We'll
have to go
back. That's it. So
we'll have to go back as the podcast. If anyone wants to sponsor us.
So thanks to Gareth. I'm going to just say thanks to Gareth because he's a regular listener to the podcast from Australia. And he's glad that I'm enjoying my holiday here. He gives some feedback about two things. We talked about compost.
We did, yes.
Episode,
yeah.
The price of compost. And I wasn't sure. I hadn't got my eye in with that. So he's saying here, a decent quality potting mixed in 25-litre bags cost around $9.
So what's that about?
So that's good, actually, isn't it? That would be about
so it's about half, isn't
pounds.
It? Yeah, about $4.50.
Something like that.
Okay, it's about the same.
Yeah, so if you're 25 litre bag.
The same.
Yeah. And and here we go. Gareth was very kind. He said, the eucalypt that you referred to as the squiggly gum, so that is me. I got it wrong. I actually wrote it down as the right name and read my notes out wrong. He knows this as a scribbly.
Scribbly?
And it is the scribbling, as in
with
scribble.
A pencil, yeah.
And making as in scribble.
Not squiggle.
Not squiggle.
Oh, that's a shame.
Scribble with a b. See my phonics training there, guys? Look at me spanning the generations.
I quite like squiggly, though. That's got a...
Well, you know.
Well, we'll find yourself a eucalyptus and we'll call it the squiggly gum.
So thank you for that, Gareth. And I hope you get a chance to visit the Blue Mountains, which we could see from the Hunter Valley. And I did go to them when I was here in 2017, but we haven't had the time to do that. Or go to Red Cow Farm, which one of the other listeners recommended. So I'm so sorry, I haven't had a chance to do that. But then also, I had a comment the other day from a lady called Lindsay. And Lindsay lives in Australia, and she'd been visiting the UK, had come home, listened to one of her podcasts, and realised that I was in literally the neighbouring village. I think she's in Newport, as far as I know,
well,
which is literally just about 10 minutes away. So she also did say she mentioned Flower Power, so they obviously are quite a good garden centre chain over here. So, and I'm just scanning through because she had a lovely long chat with me. She was saying she'd been away to England and come back to her Australian garden and all her veggies were growing at a pace. So to be away for 10 days vacation, she said she'd had, and then come back at this time of year. Imagine, do you know that joy of like if you go away in the summer? You know when we go to
absolutely.
The flower shows
yep.
and then we come back and you haven't been to be with the garden and you haven't seen it. And then there's things are romped away and it's so exciting. So Lindsay, I completely get that. Completely get that.
I'm sure they grow quicker when you're not looking at them. That's what I always feel. When you go away
Tony
for
back.
A few days, things grow a lot quicker.
Yeah, they are very self-aware, these plants. So she also said that, her dad planted two trees in Newport to mark the birth of each of my two sons. Now, they are now quite substantial and very handsome scribbly gums, which, and the Latin name, which I hadn't realised, is Eucalyptus Haemastoma.
So that was, I'll look that one up.
Haemastoma. Yeah, okay. So Haemastoma. So that is the scribbly gum, which did fascinate me when I visited the little local native plant garden. So thanks to you two for chatting. And there's lots of other people who have been reaching out to me and saying hello. I've been putting up some pictures about when we visited the Hunter Valley Gardens, one of the big monkey puzzle trees was going to lose some of its cones, and that area was actually fenced off, so you couldn't go under it because it said beware of falling cones.
Now that's a shame, because the one thing I know about monkey puzzle, the seeds, the kernels in the cones, is they're edible.
Mm-hmm.
And
they make
a really good alternative to sweet chestnuts if you bonfire them or barbecue them. They're absolutely delicious. So it's a shame you couldn't collect some and have a nibble.
I did research. I'm just going to try and find the Latin name for you because, so it was, please be aware of falling bunya cones. Bunya.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Would you know that?
Massive. Yes, I do know it. Yeah. Absolutely huge. And they can cause a few. Well, they can be fatal in some cases, but
yeah. So that was what we had to.
That's
had
a bit
to
different to the monkey puzzle.
I mentioned monkey puzzle just to get. Actually, a monkey puzzle. I did research which one it was, Araucaria bidwillii, which is the bunya pine. So that's it's an Araucaria, but it's a different species. It's a bidwillii. Oh God, let me get my teeth installed. I need a coffee. Bidwillii.
Don't have a picnic under that tree. That could end badly.
Just to give you, before we sign off, I'm getting my brain more now around the wildlife. Not so much the plants. I know before I talked about the birds. So this time, did I tell you before in the last episode about the huntsman spider spotting that we had?
Oh, we all know about the spiders. Yeah, but you can tell us more.
But had I seen
you
that?
You didn't, no. Let us know.
No, right. Well, there you go. Came into the house. So this is just a day-to-day occurrence in Australia, and people have to get used to it. So the huntsman spider, Auntie Jane showed us on her, it was in her bathroom wall. Wow.
Yeah, they're quite big.
They are big. And this one was all kind of like fanned out, trying to look even bigger before it was ejected from the building. So that was interesting. And then I've seen a redback.
Have you? Brilliant.
In the garden.
Good.
And they're
they're all around.
Tiny.
Yeah, they're not
big. Yeah, but my God, they're tiny.
They're all about as well. They're not discommon, that's the thing.
No.
But they're pretty shy of humans, so they're not really that much of a problem. Unlike the huntsman, I remember walking down a path in Queensland and I ran straight into a cobweb. Massive great thing on my head.
They are big, aren't they? The cobwebs around here are not to be under. You could catch a small child in that. Mm. So we have had to watch out for those. Yeah, and so bandicoots, as far as I can gather, are quite good because as they snuffle into the ground, they eat the grubs, they aerate the soil, and they also eat grubs. So actually in Australia, they view them as a positive thing.
Oh, good stuff.
Possums are neutral, but possums poop everywhere. So that's the thing about possums. Mm. But they're not destructive. And the snakes, I haven't seen any snakes apart from when we went to the zoo, where we saw lots in the reptile centre. But diamond pythons, eastern browns, red-bellied blacks, they are the ones that we can be seeing in this area. Thankfully, as yet, I haven't seen them. I've got another couple of days here before we conclude our travels. So I'll let you know in our next episode if I do see anything snake-like. Like I say, I've seen the huntsman, and I've seen the redback. I haven't seen a funnel web spider yet, and I probably actually don't know if I want to, so we'll keep that one maybe for just the books and the online references rather than me actually seeing it in real life. But I did, as I mentioned right at the start, I did get up at 5 this morning to record you some authentic kookaburra sounds, and I thought that might be a nice way to leave the podcast. This will be our last broadcast from a multinational tone. I shall be back in the merry county of Essex next time we speak. So thank you to everyone who's reached out to me in Australia. You're a wonderful, wonderful country. Your gardens are great. I'm very envious of the plants. I'm not so sure about the wildlife, but we'll zone out from this episode with some wonderful sounds of the kookaburra. Thank you. That takes us to the end of today's episode. We thoroughly enjoyed your company for the last 30 minutes, and we hope you'll join us again next time for more insights into our gardening lives. If you'd like to leave a review or offer us feedback, you can do so via your podcast provider or our social media platforms. You can find me on Instagram at headgardenerlc and Saul on Twitter at gardeningsaul.
As we hunker down during long winter evenings, the lengthening days will offer us a boost in energy levels, ready to greet the new gardening year. Before we know it, we'll be dusting down our propagators, being treated to vibrant displays of spring bulbs, and heading to the garden centres and plant fairs, list in hand, to track down those must-grow plants.
So, until the next episode of Talking Heads, goodbye!
Goodbye!